Yeah, hi, New.
Hello.
How do you
I'm okay, thank you, I
feel?
think.
Do you feel comfortable with the
I'm not used to
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so thank you so much for doing this with me. So this is another episode on Everyday Echoes. And as I explained to you earlier about what Everyday Echoes is just all about, being able to like tell people's stories to just inspire others and just lit the spark inside them to also just create change, transformative change especially. So that's what just this is all about. So thank you for deciding to come on here with me. I feel honored and privileged. I remember the first night I first met you, it was at Bold.
It was.
Bold was it's a program for students at Destiny Church, and you came to talk to us. And what you said really resonated with me deep down. But before we delve down into the serious talk, I just want to make the story the first time during Bold. It moved me to tears. It moved me into a lot of things like I couldn't describe. And I couldn't just keep my emotions to myself, but to just raise up my hand when they were like, oh, does anyone have anything to say? Then I was like, oh, I have something to say. First, thanking you for coming out to just share your story and also just let us know that our struggles aren't peculiar to us, that it's not new. What you're going through, it's not new. And you also said something that I would never forget. You said, don't compromise, it's not worth it.
What I said to somebody recently was, cheap thrills don't satisfy you.
Yeah.
They might make you feel good for a while,
Yeah.
but they'll never satisfy you for life. Only God can.
True. True.
One moment of pleasure, whatever it might be,
Yeah.
isn't going to satisfy you at all. It'll make you feel guilty. Where living for God, and that doesn't mean we don't sin, and that doesn't mean that there's no forgiveness, because there is. But what I try to say to people, and even say to myself, that one moment of pleasure can cause more damage and will never satisfy you compared to what God can give you.
That's very true. That's deep. That's very true. So, like, just speaking up from, yeah, would you want to share your story of how, like, your journey of God started? Get your tissues ready,
Yeah,
guys.
I mean, I had an incredibly difficult childhood.
Yeah.
My mother died when I was five. My mother had a brain tumor. I only have one memory of my mother, and that was her. I came home from school one day. I just started school, and came home from school one day, and she was lying on the kitchen floor. She knew I'd cut my hand, and she bandaged my hand, and she collapsed on the kitchen floor at home,
Wow.
and then she died a
Just
month.
right in front of you.
Well, I didn't see her collapse, but I went through the kitchen and heard the sound, and she left five children, of which the eldest was 11 and the youngest was two. My parents' marriage was never the best. There was a lot of, my father had major issues with alcohol and various other things, and liked other women, if that's the right way to put it. But, and I think if it'd been now, my parents had been married, they would not have stayed married.
Yeah.
But my mother was forced to give up a lot in order to marry my father. Her parents didn't approve of my father at all.
Wow.
And when my mother died, my grandmother, who was still alive, didn't come to my mother's funeral because she never saw her after she got married to my father.
Wow.
So with a very difficult childhood, and then because my father had an alcohol problem, he could not cope with having five children, so at home. So my eldest sister, well, I've got one sister and two older brothers, they were kept at home because they had already well into school.
Yeah.
My eldest sister was seven. My oldest brother would have been 11. My youngest brother was only two. So there was a couple. My father had a sister and brother-in-law. So he went to them. For whatever reason, I don't know why, it was decided that I should go to family in London, which I did go to. So I went to school there. It was a very posh lifestyle. They had a big house. My great uncle worked for the government, so they had servants and everything,
Wow.
which sounds nice,
Yeah.
but wasn't, because I went to school and had a Scottish accent, went to very posh English boarding, well, sort of prep school.
Yeah.
But the prep school didn't have just prep, it also had senior pupils in
Yeah.
it. So I arrived with a Scottish accent from a very poor background to this, and I was bullied horrendously. And from at the age of eight,
Yeah.
what something happened that probably transformed, I didn't really deal with till about 30 odd years later. I didn't know what sex was. I was
Yeah.
eight. But an older boy called Simon took advantage of me and raped me, which I now understand to be that 30 odd years later, and or 40 years later. What age am I now?
63.
Even 50 years later. God help us. And didn't just do it once, but did it over a period of time, numerous times. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't know what was I knew I was in pain, but I didn't know what the pain was. I didn't realize it was wrong. And I didn't tell anybody at all. I was threatened by him and didn't tell anybody at all what had happened. So that my father decided when I was, so he wanted the children all back together to do secondary school. So I came home from this very posh background
Yeah.
to, and my three brothers, my youngest brother as well, eventually played rugby for Scottish schoolboys. My sister played hockey for Scottish schoolgirls, and there was me, who couldn't play. I played tennis occasionally,
Yeah.
but who never played sport and clearly wasn't quite the son my father wanted. My father had a very difficult relationship with all of his children, and the older ones left home when they were 16, 17.
Team, yeah.
And so I came back to second, I came back to do secondary school, which is
Yeah.
high school in Scotland, with a very posh English accent, incredibly posh English
Yeah.
accent. And my father had a serious alcohol problem, and because I wasn't the son that he wanted me to have,
Yeah.
he physically would beat me up. He would hit me when he was drunk. And there didn't seem any escape. I had gone to a tiny village.
Yeah.
You'd always apologize for doing it.
But like, how did you cope with this, like in your inner self?
I think because of what I now understand what had happened before,
Okay.
everything just got put into, I mean, I felt I wasn't worth anything, if that was the right way to put it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel, I never felt loved. I mean, my father never told me that he loved, well, he did once, but I'll come to that later.
Yeah.
My father never ever told me he loved me. My father never told any of his children that he loved them.
Yeah.
The guy who raped me never told me that he loved me.
Yeah.
He might have thought it was, but it wasn't. And how did I feel inside? I felt empty. And certainly, as I began to get older, I realized that I didn't feel the way that normal, well, in inverted commas that normal boys felt.
Yeah.
I just didn't like girls. All my school, I got bullied, fairly bullied at secondary school.
Yeah.
All my school friends were talking about girls.
Yeah.
As boys do, and I'm like, actually, I'm more like you than I like the girls. I don't know what to do about this. I didn't, because I couldn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Certainly not in a small village. I mean, there was no way I was going to be able to tell anybody that I was gay, because I didn't even know what that was. And then a friend at school introduced me to his older brother. I was 15 at the time. And I don't know how to describe this without it being slightly rude, but every spark inside me went, whoa, I like this person.
Yeah.
And so we started a relationship. I eventually started work. It was a very secretive relationship. It happened mainly at weekends. But it didn't last, mainly because in the flat that we shared, well, I didn't quite share, he had, but I could go into, I found him in bed one day with somebody else. And thought, and I think I thought, okay, I must just be worthless. This is not worth it. And so I went through a period of casual sex, quite dangerous casual sex, because I thought secretively, didn't tell anybody. I started going to church as well, but wasn't. I don't know why I went to church. I think I went to church because I'd been to church before and thought, okay, God must be some answer, but I didn't want God. I wanted the whatever was offered. I didn't feel anybody could give me any love. And then in 1981, I moved to Dumfries in Glasgow, in Scotland. And started attending a church there. I ended up having a relationship with somebody, not from the church, which was quite a violent relationship. They beat me up quite regularly. They didn't hit my face because they didn't want my face to be hurt. So I had bruised legs and arms and everything. They told me they loved me. And I decided that I was going to go to church, and I got invited to this youth fellowship. Now, I have never been anything like it in my life.
Yeah.
Because they were speaking in tongues, they were prophesying. I thought I joined a cult. But there was something about it that was different, if that makes sense. But I didn't know what the difference was. And it scared me. It deeply, deeply scared me. Because I honestly thought that if people knew what I was like, that I was gay, I'd accepted the fact by now that I didn't fancy women. If they thought I was gay, because I knew some of the church's attitudes towards gay people, and I thought, I'm going to get flung out of this church, this group. So I didn't tell anybody. So one night, on July the 1st, 1982, I was 20, one of my friends took me for a walk one night and said, you really do need to find Jesus. I was so angry because I'm already a Christian. I don't need Jesus in my life. I've got too many complications and Jesus would cause complications. My person I was living with was away at the time. So at 12:05 in the morning on July the 2nd, 1982, I gave my life to Jesus.
Wow.
Now, everybody would have, I think I thought by the way people were talking, that was going to be the answer to everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't. at that time, it led to more and more complications. Because I started going to church.
Yeah.
Quite the person I was living with went away at weekends.
Yeah.
I didn't know what he did.
Yeah.
From what I gather later, I think he was in relationships with other men and just went away at weekends. He still was quite physically brutal to me. I never reported him to the police. I wouldn't do it because I thought I was in love with him.
Yeah.
And so the month after I went away on holiday, the friend who I went on holiday with, I went to a Christian hotel in Wales. And the friend, well, one of the people, guys I was on holiday with, is still a friend now, 40 odd years later. And got baptized in the Holy Spirit at that. I thought, oh gosh, this is even more different. But I was more confused because I couldn't cope with sexuality, church. And then what happened was I got back after that and my partner, I'd hidden my Bible and everything away.
Yeah.
He wanted to know what had happened to me, why I had got started going to church. He wanted to know who, because I think one of the guys from church phoned one day and he wanted to know who that person was.
Yeah.
And beat me up very badly indeed. I ended up in hospital. I ended up having a complete and utter nervous breakdown. It's my kind of surprise. I didn't actually speak for 3 months.
Wow.
Because the shock of what happened. I told the police because I got told I had to tell the police. But he had fled by then.
Yeah.
And I've not seen Alan since. So that was that.
Yeah.
Do you want me to carry on?
Yeah. It's just...
So I carried on a very double life. I carried on going to church, but I didn't feel love. Not necessarily people didn't show me love. They did show me love, but I didn't know what that was. And I carried on a very double life of having casual sexual relationships out with. I jokingly said once in church sex would never happen on a Tuesday night because the house group was on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or a Saturday night because church was on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It sounds quite bad now when you think about it. That carried on for a while. I then was offered a job and I reapplied to join the civil service, which I'm still in. And was moved to Glasgow. So I went to one church before I came to what is now Destiny.
Yeah.
So this is 1994. I've been in Destiny for 30 years now.
30 years?
Yeah.
That's my age for 7.
Thanks. Just get me my pension now. And I was totally, utterly screwed up, completely screwed up. I mean, I hadn't told anybody what had happened in my life. I didn't tell them what Simon did to me. I didn't tell them what Alan did to me. I didn't tell them what my father did to me. The year before I'd gone to another church, but it split up. The year before I came to Destiny, my youngest brother drowned.
Yeah.
Which caused so much pain. Yeah. He was the closest one I walked to, and we could tell each other things. And he sometimes would talk about what Dad had done to me, but Dad would never talk about what he did to me.
Yeah,
and it was not a subject I would ever bring up. And so, Pastor Barry and I became friends, and one day, in one of his flat, he said, "You need to forgive all these people." And I thought, "I'm not forgiving anybody at all."
Yeah.
And suddenly, when I'm only 5 foot 7 and a half, Barry's a lot bigger than me.
Yeah.
Cathy was worried about what I was going to do to him because all this hatred,
Yeah.
anger, frustration, bitterness, unforgiveness
Yeah.
suddenly came pouring out of me.
Oh.
Absolutely, it was an awful night, although it was a good night. And I thought, oh gosh, this is what feeling okay is like. I was still scared because I realized I was never, I've never, I, well, no, I better not watch what I'm going to say here. I do know what an attractive woman looks like,
Yeah.
but I've never been sexually attracted to a woman.
Woman, yeah.
And I thought, well, how on earth do you manage church and that? So when I came to join Destiny, Andrew spoke to me and said, where are you? I said, well, I'm not having any relationship. I'd actually, my last relationship happened. I gave up God for a year because I fell in love with somebody at work.
Wow.
Somebody a lot younger than me, and we had a relationship for a year. But he couldn't cope with God in the relationship
Yeah.
because I'd always feel guilty because I wouldn't go to church,
Yeah.
didn't do church for a year. I gave up church, told friends, you talked about writing emails. It wasn't text or emails. I had to
Yeah.
write letters to people to say, I am giving up everything. We didn't live together. He lived with his parents. But I just felt, I don't think he ever told me that he loved me,
Yeah.
but I felt hook, line, and sinker, totally, this is what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, a few months after my brother drowned, he said to me, I actually can't cope with this relationship because you need to go back to God.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not going back to God. Excuse me, I've got you, don't need God. But I knew there was guilt in me, and I thought, okay. So I did go back to God, and we still worked together for a little while. He left work eventually to do something else, not because of me. But it was very tense. It was very difficult because you couldn't, nobody at work knew. We
Yeah.
didn't tell anybody at work. Everything was private. Everything was not out in the open. And then I began to meet friends in church. People would ask me about myself and thought, okay, now do I be open and say, I've got this bit of an issue to deal with.
Yeah.
And so I did.